G'day and welcome to Ad Nauseam Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the initial approach to a trauma patient, that is the initial assessment and management of that patient. We'll start with preparation, the four S's: staff, space, stuff and systems. For systems, we need to activate a trauma code to get all the relevant teams to the bedside. We need to activate a massive transfusion protocol so we can initiate balanced blood product resuscitation when the patient arrives. And we also need to liaise with the retrieval service if we're in a non-tertiary trauma centre. For staff, we need to have our trauma team assembled with roles assigned and assume team leadership. For medical staff, ideally at least five doctors, airway, primary survey, circulation and EFAS, proceduralist and the team leader. Nursing staff, again, at least five nurses, airway, circulation, runners and a scribe. A pharmacist and social worker are also useful. We need to ensure the department's safe, so having a consultant allocated to managing the rest of the department. And then the briefing is really important. So what are the expected injuries or injury patterns? What are the complications we anticipate? What are the priorities when the patient arrives? Using closed loop communication. For example, the patient's got blunt head and chest trauma, or there's penetrating abdominal injury. For space and staff, we need a trauma or resus bay and equipment. We need PPE for blood exposure. We need the airway trolley with adjuncts, bag valve mask, suction, plans, A, B, C, D in front of neck with the video laryngoscope screen. Procedural trolleys, we need scalpel, thoracostomy and ICC equipment, thoracotomy tray if we have one, and a RIC or MAC line or both. We need the level 1 transfuser or Belmont primed, or a blood warmer if they're not available. And we need drugs, so analgesia, for example, fentanyl, antiemetics, ondansetron, intubation drugs, ketamine, rocuronium, a gram of TXA, reversal drugs, so either rucizumab or endexinid alpha if you have them, and empiric antibiotics, so kevazolin IV, for example. We need imaging, point-of-care ultrasound, the machine, and portable X-ray if that's possible. And orthopedics, we need a Philly collar for the neck, pelvic binder for the pelvis, and splints for any long bone injuries. Next, we need to talk about the handover process using the iMIST ample approach. So, identification, mechanism, injuries, symptoms and signs, and treatments. Then allergies, medications, past medical history, when they last ate and drank, and the events leading up to the incident and since then. Next is the reception of the patient, which is a standardized trauma primary survey utilizing the CABCD approach with simultaneous assessment and management. When an issue is identified, it needs to be addressed before moving on. We'll start with catastrophic hemorrhage and shock. For assessment, we need vital signs, expecting derangement, and continuous cardiorespiratory monitoring applied. We're going to expose the patient to identify and then control bleeding sites using the scalpel mnemonic, so scalp, chest, abdomen, long bones, pelvis, externally, and retroperitoneum. The management for bleeding is direct pressure, dressings, and tourniquets. And for the patient in traumatic cardiac arrest, we need to consider exsanguination either internally or externally, tension pneumothorax, cardiac tamponade or severe brain and spinal cord injury. For airway, with C-spine precautions and collar or manual inline stabilization. For assessment, we're going to rapidly assess the verbal aspect of GCS to assess voice and stridor. To identify indications for early or immediate intubation, we need to inspect the neck, looking for hard and soft signs of airway injury and whether the trachea is midline. We also need to assess the airway for difficulty using the mnemonics LEMON for ETT, BONES for BBM, RODS for LMA, SHORT for front of neck access, and utilizing the Vortex approach. Airway management includes airway maneuvers for a threatened airway, plus or minus OPA and MPA, plus or minus bag valve mask ventilation, and a plan for intubation. For breathing, on assessment, we're looking for chest integrity and flail, rise and fall bilaterally, work of breathing, auscultation bilaterally, and subcut emphysema. We're utilizing EFAS for pneumothorax and chest X-ray for pneumothorax, hemothorax, rib fractures, flail segment, and subcut emphysema. And for management of breathing, oxygen for sats of less than 95% of room air, and thoracostomy on ICC empirically. For circulation, on assessment, we want to discriminate between the shock syndromes, hemorrhagic, obstructive and vasodilatory in particular, using central and peripheral cap refill, peripherally shut down versus vasodilated in neurogenic shock and pulse character. We also want to utilise ultrasound using EFAST and RUSH, Is there pericardial fluid? What's the cardiac function, IVC and abdominal free fluid? For management, we need at least two large bore cannulas converting an IVC to a recline or a max sheath in the subclavian vein if thoracostomy ipsilaterally. For bloods, a blood group and cross match, a coag and TEG, a VBG, full blood count, electrolytes, liver function, and lipase, troponin, and CK, a pelvic binder to be applied, a pelvic x-ray to identify fractures, and an art line. For targets, permissive hypotension if no head injury, so a SBP of 90, MAP of 70, or a MAP of greater than 80 if a head or a spinal cord injury. Then a massive transfusion protocol for balanced blood product resuscitation. Our aims are a temp greater than 35, acid-base status, so pH greater than 7.2, base excess greater than negative 6, lactate less than 4, ionized calcium greater than 1.1, HB is not a trigger alone and should be interpreted in context, platelets greater than 50 or greater than 100 if head injury, APTT or PT less than 1.5 times at normal, and fibrinogen of greater than or equal to 1 gram per litre. We also need to manage and prevent the trauma triad of acidosis, hypothermia, and coagulopathy, adding in hypocalcemia, utilising TEG or Rotem if it's available, reversal agents, so specific agents, either risizumab or andexanet alpha, PCC and vitamin K, and TXA, 15 milligrams per kilo or 1 gram intravenously, 8 hourly. Moving on to disability, on assessment, we need a formal GCS or AVPU, looking at the pupils to make an assessment of raised ICP. We also want to assess a gross forelimb tone power reflexes and sensation, one for a spinal injury, utilising a motor and sensory level and a spinal cord injury pattern, and then assessing the spinal cord syndromes, considering neurogenic shock. We also need a BGL. And for management of disability, we're going to employ neuroprotective measures to prevent secondary brain injury, tilting the head of bed up 30 degrees, keeping the bed flat but head up, prevention of hypotension and hypoxia, normal PaCO2 to prevent cerebral vasodilation, loosening of the endotracheal tube ties if they're applicable for venous drainage, and sedation and paralysis to decrease cerebral metabolic rate. Also glucose for hypoglycemia. For exposure, on assessment and management, a log roll for missed injuries. For long bone fractures, we need to splint in anatomical position. For wounds, we need to decontaminate and dress, give tetanus and antibiotics, so Kefazol and IV. We need to administer analgesia and antiemetics for patient comfort. We need to pay attention to temperature management with a bear hugger, for example, and an indwelling catheter as urine output. It's a good proxy for progression of shock state. Okay, so that was the initial approach of a trauma patient, so the initial assessment and management, going through the preparation steps, the handover, and the trauma reception. Thanks for listening.